Welcome to the Married with Picks podcast, season 3, episode 16, week 16. So before we get started, we have a special guest on the podcast tonight. This is Brady.
Merry Christmas to all the listeners who are watching.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Brady. That's really nice of you. Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there listening to the Married with Picks podcast. Week 16.
All right, bud. Go down and keep your brother company, okay?
Thanks, Brady. That was great.
Shut the door.
Go Eagles.
All right, so we're trying to get this podcast in early since the games kick off Saturday at 1, so we had to compromise there.
We're not going to start over and fake that?
No, we'll just roll with it.
All right.
So week 16, remember if you're watching, like us, subscribe, feel free to leave a comment. So as I mentioned, we have a flip schedule this week. The bulk of the games are on Saturday with 3 games on Sunday. So you're going to have limited opportunity to listen to this. We have a lot of cold weather games this week. So we're going to try to touch on those as we go through. The weather in a lot of these games is going to be much like our weather here. Even inside my house, I'm so cold, I have gloves on. So first game is the New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings. It opened at -4. It is down to -3.5. This game will be played in a dome, so no weather concerns there. Giants just kind of keep on winning. They won again last week against the Commanders. Vikings had a big comeback win against the Colts. I kind of worry that maybe they put it all out there last week. Their defense is not very good. Giants' defense has played well. I think they will get some pressure on Cousins. They will be without one of their offensive linemen and cornerback Adoree Jackson, which is maybe concerning when you have Justin Jefferson out there. I think the Vikings win, but I am going to take the points and go with the Giants.
Yeah, I like the Giants too. I think Minnesota's clinched the division, so they're not, you know, they're not the strongest in my opinion, even though they have an 11-3 record. So I think this is a team that will kind of take their foot off the gas pedal and coast into the playoffs here. And the Giants are fighting for a spot. The big win last week against Washington puts them at 8-5 and in a commanding spot to make the playoffs as a wild card team. So I see them going on the road, and you know, I don't know that I want to peg it so much into the hole that I'll say they'll lose but cover, but I think, you know, the 3.5 points is definitely favorable getting that hook. So it looks like a good possibility that they could lose and still it's a 3-point game, they'll win.
Yeah, and I guess that's maybe one thing we have to consider in looking at some of these games. It is Christmas weekend. These games are going to be played on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Some of these teams have motivation. They're fighting for a playoff spot. Some of these teams are comfortably at least in the playoffs. So Giants obviously have a little more motivation than maybe the Vikings do here. All right, so next game is the Detroit Lions at the Carolina Panthers. It opened at and is at -2.5 in favor of the Lions. This will be cold, but not as cold as some of the other games. It's going to be 33 degrees with 14 mile per hour winds. So Lions continued winning last week. Panthers have played well on defense. They did upset a game within the last couple weeks. But I got to ride the Lions until they lose, I think, at this point. A little concerning because we have 88% of the bets and 50% of the handle on the Lions here.
Well, Carolina lost last week to the Steelers, but I think you were making reference to the Seattle Seahawks game where Carolina went into Seattle and upset them 30-24, which was pretty unexpected. The week prior to that, they did beat the Broncos 23-10. Yeah. And I like Carolina here. I think that they're at home. Detroit is a fan favorite here, but they're all going on the road right before Christmas, a 2.5-point favorite. Carolina, Sam Darnold, you know, was looking basically playing for his career here. And I know he'd like to get another contract because his future is not with Carolina. So we'll see what happens. I think Carolina is the play here at home. I'll look at the home dog.
So, I mean, I guess we should mention Detroit is fighting for a playoff spot. Panthers, although they're in a crappy division, so I don't know that they're statistically out of it. They are pretty much out of the hunt. So this would be a big, big win.
Like, I like Detroit to make the playoffs. We've got three games left, right?
Right.
But they can lose this game and still get in. They're sitting at 7-7. The playoff team right in front of them is Washington at 7-6-1. So they're half game out of the playoffs with three to play. They still can lose this game and make it to the playoffs. So I think a lot of people are going to look and overbet Detroit here. But Carolina, I would take Carolina. This is a, you know, where everybody's going to go one way. Dodge and go to Carolina.
All right. So next game is the Cincinnati Bengals at the New England Patriots. This is going to be a cold game as well. 27 degrees in Foxborough with a real feel of 10 degrees, 17 mile per hour winds, and possibility of a snow shower. So Bengals have been rolling lately. They're obviously the better team. Patriots had an interesting loss last week. Was a questionable touchdown, and then that whole lateral thing with Stevenson and Myers. So I worry a little bit about Belichick being embarrassed after what happened last week and coming out looking to redeem himself this week.
Yeah.
I also worry a little bit about this game because it's another game where 85% of the bets and 54% of the handle are on the Bengals.
Yes.
I think when you look at this on paper, the Bengals are the obvious pick, which isn't always the right pick. I will mention last week, because I have Davante Adams on my fantasy team, Patriots really held him in check. So I think they will do the same thing with Chase going up against the Bengals, kind of force Burrow to go elsewhere. Higgins was on the injury report, but he did practice fully this week. So it sounds like he'll go, although there have been some games where he was active and didn't take the field. So I'm a little bit torn on this game. There's definitely going to be an upset this week. I just don't know which game it's going to be. I could totally see Ben that's being this one. What are your thoughts?
So are you making a pick yet or what?
No, I want to hear your thoughts.
You're talking everything that I'm thinking about this game. That, yeah, that was a horrible way to lose. It's not un-Belichick way to lose. Like, he's usually on the other side or the recipient of people making stupid mistakes like they did last week, with Jacoby Myers just turning around and throwing the ball right to the Raider, and he ran back for a touchdown. Clearly, you should have just taken a knee there, and I think a lot of that comes back to them trying to do a little bit too much with your boy Matt Patricia, you know, being the offensive coordinator. You know, who the hell knows why, when the guy's a defensive guy. Well,
okay, but we had this.
I mean, that's just discussion. He should have just taken the knee.
It wasn't the play call. These guys kind of ad-libbed. So
yeah, exactly. But they should have just taken the knee, and then we wouldn't have to worry about it, because they're not going to run 80 yards for a touchdown with 20 seconds left. So, but I like what you're saying, that they're going to be embarrassed. They're coming home. The great equalizer. You look at this game, right? And you would think Cincinnati all day. I love Cincinnati. Cincinnati's coming to form. I've been talking for weeks now about them gaining momentum, coming into the playoffs and being a Super Bowl contender. And we're going to see it. And especially when Chase comes back, and they're doing that. You know, they took maybe the quarter off against Tampa Bay, and then they just shoved the football right up Tampa Bay's end zone, scored a bunch of points, over 30. I like the way they're playing. But this is a game where the cold is going to be the great equalizer. Another home dog in New England. New England's fighting for the playoffs. And, you know, we called it last week when we said, you know, watch out, because New England could be in trouble, or these teams that are like need to win to get into the playoffs, they usually choke. But I think here they choke last week. They come back, they show up. But I don't look long term for New England success, i.e. I don't think they're going to end up making the playoffs. But this is a week I would take New England.
All right. I think I'm going to stick with the Bengals. I have the same feeling this week that I had last week. Like, it kind of felt like the Bucs might have been the right side of that game. And ultimately, we know now it wasn't. So I am going to stick with the Bengals. I
want to take the Bengals, babe. I love them.
There was some talk, an article I read today about, like, Belichick kind of throwing shade at Mac Jones. We've seen Mac Jones kind of throwing, like, hissy fits during the games. So maybe there's some dysfunction that's breeding, and that's certainly not going to help their cause any.
Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, these quarterbacks all seem suspect from that draft class. You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't like the way New England's going in. I think those Stevenson and the cold could really be the difference maker with Cincinnati maybe taking a day off and, you know, somehow this is a game where you see where I see New England somehow winning maybe a 17-16 game, something like that.
I think it's a good opportunity for some in-game betting, see how the game starts. You'll know early if it's going to be one of those games. So, all right, next game is the Buffalo Bills at the Chicago Bears, opened at minus 10 in favor of Buffalo. It's down to minus 8.5. This is going to be a cold game, 12 degrees with a real feel of minus 14 with 22 mile per hour winds. I do think that Buffalo will win this game, but it's a big line in the cold weather. I just think that we also saw Buffalo get gashed on the ground last week by the Dolphins with Mostert. That's what the Bears want to do, is run the ball, whether it's with Fields or with Montgomery. So I definitely got to take the points on this one.
I take the points too. I'll take the points with Chicago at home. Yeah. I like Khalid. Khalid's coming back. I think that's a guy that can really bolster this Chicago running game. They get a little bit out of Montgomery, and he had a good game last week. But they, you know, adding Khalid to the mix with Montgomery, and then Justin Fields, you know, it's just Justin Fields. It crowds the line, but there's three different options. They can start getting the misdirection going, and I think you'll see success enough at least to keep within a touchdown of the Bills.
Yeah. All right. So next game is the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. This is also in Tennessee, going to be uncharacteristically cold, 20 degrees with a real feel of 6 degrees and 14 mile per hour winds. So we have Ryan Tannehill out. It will be Malik Willis that gets the start. These teams played back in October. Titans did win that game, and we would have talked about it that week. Texans have a really bad run defense. Derrick Henry has, over the course of his career, pretty much gashed them. He's had multiple 200-plus yard, two-touchdown games. When they played earlier this year, it was Malik Willis that started that game as well. I let that fact push me off of betting my usual Derrick Henry props. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. In addition, because of the cold weather, generally it hurts more to get hit when it's cold. And you have Derrick Henry freight train coming down the field. So that's not going to help the Texans' cause. Titans desperately need this win with Jacksonville winning the Thursday night game against the Jets. They are no longer in control of that division. I don't know what their future necessarily holds, because it's sounding like they're going to be without Tannehill. So I don't know that they're going to have much shot in the playoffs, but they're still going to compete for the opportunity, I'm sure. This line opened at minus 8.5. It's all the way down to minus 3.5. I assume that's because of the Tannehill news. But in this particular matchup, I don't think it matters as much. I would like to see if this goes down a little bit further, try to get it at 3. I don't necessarily like the hook, but I will take the Titans in this spot.
So let me clarify something, because they were saying a lot about they were saying this just like you did a lot on the telecast last night, saying that Jacksonville controlled their own destiny with the win against New York. But don't forget, Tennessee, their even record. The reason why they control their own destiny is because they play them at the end of the season. So Tennessee also controls their own destiny. If they win out, they will be the division winners. So they're both in a position where they control their own destiny, because when they had the head-to-head matchup at the end of the season, whoever wins that game, if they all win out going into it, would then go to the playoffs as a division leader. So I see this game as where Tennessee finally gets their shit back together, and thank God for them, Houston's coming to town, right? So I agree with your assessment that I think Houston just kind of packs it in on this game. They've looked, they've played everybody tight so far in the last couple of weeks, especially with Davis Mills coming back. I think what you're going to see here, though, is Tennessee kind of get it back together. It might not be pretty early, but they get a couple late touchdowns to open it up to, you know, 14-17 point win. I like Tennessee a lot.
Okay, so do I. All right, next game is the Seattle Seahawks at the Kansas City Chiefs. Open at -9.5 in favor of the Chiefs. It's up to -10. It's also going to be cold in Kansas City, 16 degrees with a real feel of 11. Not much wind to speak of. So generally, and we've seen this in the past 2 weeks, the Chiefs just don't cover these big spreads. Struggled with the Broncos and the Texans in the last couple weeks, only beating both of those by 6 points. Actually went to overtime last week with the Texans. Seattle has a better offense than either of those teams. The Chiefs defense is not great. Seattle will be without Tyler Lockett, but I think you got to take the points here and go with Seattle.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett has meant a lot to their offense, but they still have Metcalf on the other side. They have enough weapons, especially Marquise with the
Goodwin,
run game.
Who showed up a couple times this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I couldn't remember what his name was, so I'm glad you filled it in there. And he has looked good. And I think that, you know, they shouldn't lose much with Lockett stepping out, even though he's been valuable to the offense. I think that you hit the nail on the head there, Jacqueline. It's too many points. Kansas City keeps getting these big lines, and I don't think that they're going to cover it this one.
All right. Next game is the Atlanta Falcons at the Baltimore Ravens. It's at -6.5 in favor of the Ravens. It will be cold in Baltimore as well. 25 degrees with a real feel of -8. 14 mile per hour winds. Keep saying that wrong. So Lamar Jackson, there was some talk that he would be back this week. He will not. And Huntley is also questionable with a shoulder, assuming he will start. And then you have Desmond Ridder on the other side, who got his first NFL start last week and did not look great. I don't really want anything to do with this game. If you force me to make a pick, I would take the points and go with the Falcons, but I won't be putting my money on this.
Yeah, it looks, everything that I'm seeing, it looks like Tyler Huntley is going to play.
Yeah.
I think you get the Dome team out in the cold weather up on the East Coast, and they're going to be in trouble. So I don't like Atlanta at all, even though it's 6.5 points. Keep it under 7. I'm in all day on the Ravens. I look for a big victory.
All right. Next game is the New Orleans.
Remember, they got a rookie quarterback there, and he's going on the road. You know, it's probably going to be curtains for him against the Baltimore D.
Yeah, it's probably
not
going to be good. Next game is the New Orleans Saints at the Cleveland Browns. Open at -3 in favor of Cleveland. It's down to -2.5. This is going to be another cold game. 11 degrees with a real feel of -21 with 36 mile per hour winds. So really brutal weather in this one. And just another game that I really don't want anything to do with.
Yeah, I think you got to take Cleveland. It's 2.5. I like it being under 3. I think it's a 3-point game for Cleveland. But it's going to be a very low scoring game. I think you take the under here too, but, with it being cold, another dome team coming outside, take Cleveland.
Okay. Next game is the Washington Commanders at the San Francisco 49ers. Opened at -6.5 in favor of San Fran. It's at -7. Weather in San Fran will be okay for this one. We have Washington traveling across the country after playing on Sunday night. San Francisco is at home after playing Thursday night. So they're coming in with a little extra time to prepare. This one, I think San Francisco is probably clearly the better team. Their defense is very good. It could be trouble for Heineke. But the fact that the one loss that the Eagles have was to Washington kind of makes me feel like this is another spot where, and we also have some talk of Carson Wentz again. He's back. He's the backup at this point. If Heineke keeps dropping games, that could open the door for Carson Wentz to step back into the starting role. They really need the win to stay in the playoff hunt. That loss to the Giants last week really hurt them. Although, well, we won't go there with some of the calls at the end of that game. So, and this is also Kyle versus a team that he kind of got to start with, I guess, and his father was there for a long time. Maybe some reasons for him to want to beat them. So I'm really torn on this one. What are your thoughts?
Young's coming back. I think he's going to be the difference maker. And I think this Purdy guy is living on short life here. I don't see that he can keep this up, especially with Debo's out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he can't keep doing this with Ayuk. You know, maybe Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they've been leaning on Christian McCaffrey, but I think Washington's fast enough here and they can tackle well and they play good defense. And when you add Young to the equation, to be honest with you, Young might be the best when he's healthy, the best defensive player in the league. So I really just like Washington. I know it's tough on the road here. The whole Carson Wentz thing, I'm almost cheering for him to get back in and do well, because I think you have to be a serious hater if you just continue to jump on Carson Wentz. Like, I'm not saying I want to forgive him.
Oh, I would love to see Carson Wentz in this game. I would take Sam Fran all day.
I would like to see Carson come back and do something. I mean, I just feel like I start to feel bad for him because his stock has just dropped so much and he has nobody to blame but himself. Yeah, I agree. But, you know, to see him resurrected for more than the AO1 reference there, but if he gets resurrected and is able to come back and do something in his career with Washington, I think it would be a great story. But I do love Heinicke. I think that he, you know, forget about Carson Wentz. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And Heinicke to McLaren is really what I'm looking at here against San Francisco. It could be the difference maker. Getting 7 points on the road, I'll go Washington.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm going to take the points and go with Washington. I think, you know, Heinicke has the motivation. I mean, he wants to be the starter. And now with the talk of Carson Wentz, that's like extra motivation for him to really go out there and try to get it done. If the Washington defense can get to Purdy a little bit, make him uncomfortable, it could work to their favor.
If Young's in, does Washington have a top five defense in the NFC?
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't played all year, right?
He played early, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
He's so,
I don't know that much in this first game. But
the defense has played so well without him. When you add him, it's just going to be very interesting. Quarterbacks don't have a lot of time to sit back there. And if they can get that speed rush in on Purdy, he's in trouble.
I mean, these are kind of like similarly suited teams. Good defense, good against the run game. So I don't know. But I'm going to go with you and go with Washington on this one. All right. So next game is Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. Open at -1 in favor of Dallas. It's up to -4 in favor of Dallas. Weather will be okay in this one.
Turn it dome.
Well, it's not technically a dome.
I believe it closes.
Yeah. Well,
it's a retractable roof.
It is a retractable roof. But if the weather's okay, they don't have to close it.
Well, when they close it, is it technically a dome then?
Yes, but when I looked up NFLweather.com and it shows which games are in domes, and when it got to this one, it just showed a sunny sky. So it didn't say it was a dome.
It's in a dome.
We're going to watch and see if the roof's open when the game's on tomorrow, okay?
Babe, I'm going to introduce you to a new term called super bomb.
What does that mean?
Super cyclone bomb. Whatever the hell the weather event is, that's going to bring like 10 degrees down in Dallas. Is that affecting the super cyclone?
No, it's not. The weather is okay.
Can't.
All right. So anyway, on this game, what I wanted to ask you was, because Jalen Hurts is going to be out, so you're going to have Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Does that change like their offense?
Well, it should.
Because you have Hurts, who is a runner. You have Gardner Minshew, who is more of a traditional pocket passer.
I have 36, by the way, tomorrow. In Dallas.
Well, that's cold for Dallas, and maybe they'll close that roof after all.
Well, the temperature they're giving you, babe, is the temperature with the dome on the roof.
There was no temperature. Right, anyway, said the weather's going to be okay.
So listen, they should change their offense from the standpoint that they're going to, you know, they're not going to run these run options. They shouldn't ask Gardner Minshew to run the ball too much. They'll have some of those in, but they'll look like, you know, they're run options, but they're actually, he's not going to have a choice other than to just throw the ball or hand it off. So you lose that third aspect of it. But Garner showed that when he's played in the offense before that, you know, he relies heavily on Dallas Goedert, who's coming back from his injury. He threw a lot to Quez Watkins, who doesn't get as involved when Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. But obviously, because you have talent like Smith and A.J. Brown on the other side.
Do you think they'll run the ball more, though?
I think they'll try to run the ball, but yeah, the problem with Sirianni is that he showed a propensity to go away from the run when the other team stops you for a couple of consecutive plays. And that's going to be an issue in the playoffs because you can't get scared of running the ball. Even if you get stopped a couple of times, you got to be consistent and continue to show the run so that the defense has to play the run so that the play actions will come into more play. And that's what I don't think that they do nearly enough is their true play action where you think they were going to run. It's more of all kind of like a roll off and read option kind of set. But I digress. I think Gardner Minshew has the ability to beat the Dallas Cowboys for sure because the rest of the talent around him is very good. What concerns me, and you might laugh here, but the officiating crew is the same officiating crew that was the officiating crew for the only loss the Eagles had this season, and that was the Monday night game against Washington. And as we all remember, that's the last game that Dallas Goedert played
in.
Oh,
my God. We're not going to agree.
Because the guy had a two-hand face mask, drag him down, and he fumbled the ball, and there was no flag. You know, and that was one of many dumb calls or non-calls that we saw out of this crew. So I'm a little skeptical that this crew was brought in to do this game to, you know, run it into Christmas, make sure the Dallas Cowboys get the victory. That doesn't mean that they have to cover. And I do think that Gardner Minshew can keep this game at least close.
So Dallas does have some injuries. They're going to be without linebacker Van Der Esch. Their cornerbacks, Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis, are both on the IR. They also have an illness going around the locker room with Mika Parsons being questionable. I assume he will play, but maybe he won't be 100%.
That's going to be a problem for them.
The Cowboys give up the game last week with some picks from Dak. There was some talk about whether like Philly wouldn't even really try to compete because next week's game is more important because they want to beat the Saints so they get a better pick. I don't know. I mean, if that's like a real possibility, I wouldn't think so.
Listen, I don't think the Eagles are going to go down there to like not compete. I mean, they're protecting their quarterback
rival.
That hit their shoulder. Yeah, they're not going to go down there because they know they go down there and they take it easy. That's when people are going to start getting hurt, you know. And they still want to go down there and beat the Dallas Cowboys the day before Christmas, believe me.
My pick is going to be Philly the points.
I'm taking Philly too.
All right. Next game is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Is this Saturday night's game?
Yes. It's going to be a cold weather game in Pittsburgh. 8 degrees with a real feel of negative 14, 16 mile per hour winds and possibility of a snow shower. Pittsburgh will have Kenny Pickett back. Raiders are going to be traveling east to play in the cold weather on Christmas Eve. I think the biggest determining factor for me in this game is Franco Harris. This was going to be the game to honor him and the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And then he died. So I would assume that Mike Tomlin.
Did you just laugh?
It's just ironic. Like, he's literally like, you know, doing like media events to promote this and he dies like in his hotel room.
That's sad.
So
he's
rest
in
peace.
South Jersey native, went to Penn State University. God bless his soul. The Immaculate Reception. We all know it hit the turf, Franco, but God bless you anyway.
So, I mean, that's going to be the determining factor for me here. The line opened at -1 in favor of Pittsburgh. It's up to -2.5. The Raiders are always a team you got to worry about. Like, what's their motivation coming in? I think under the circumstances, Christmas Eve, cold weather, traveling all the way across the country, they might not be that motivated. Pittsburgh should be motivated. So as much as I usually don't take the Steelers, I'm going to roll with them on the whole narrative straight here.
The Pittsburgh Steelers need to go out and win one for Franco Harris. And there's no other acceptable outcome of this game. Go Steelers.
Next game is the Sunday 1 p.m. game. Green Bay Packers at the Miami Dolphins. Opened at -4.5 in favor of Miami. It's down to -3.5. The weather will be okay in Miami. Green Bay looked... good. What?
I just wish I was in Miami.
Oh. Green Bay looked decent last week against the Rams. I'm not going to fall into that trap like some people have done earlier in the season when Green Bay actually had one good game. Miami has a good run defense, so I don't think it's going to be an Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon type thing. They're going to have to throw the ball if they want to win. I don't really like the hook, but I will take Miami up to 3.
I'll take Miami too. I think Green Bay is, you know, completely overrated this season. They played a couple bumps and they've looked decent. I think it's fake energy that you're getting out of Green Bay as soon as they go up against a real team. In this case, the Miami Dolphins, they're going to get waxed. I'll take the Dolphins.
All right. Next game is the Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Rams. Open at -1 in favor of Denver. It's up to -3. This is a dome game or retractable roof game. Russell Wilson will be back.
Wait, is it a dome or a retractable roof game? Because you just made it clear that it's not the same. Domes aren't retractable roofs.
So this isn't like another game I just really don't want anything to do with.
Let's skip it. I don't like it either.
Denver, a 3-point favorite on the road, really. All right. So next game is
Donald's out for the year.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Arizona Cardinals. This is also a dome game. Colt McCoy will be out. So it will be Trace McSorley starting for the Cardinals. He came in last week and looked pretty bad. I literally have taken DeAndre Hopkins out of my lineup in our season long league because I just don't trust him with this guy.
That's a good move.
This is it for Tom Brady. Like, if he can't win this game, then
if you can't win this game by 4 touchdowns and 3 touchdowns coming from the defense.
So the line did open at -3 in favor of Tampa. It is up to -8. I maybe watch and see where it goes. If we could get it back closer to 7, that would probably make me feel better. But I mean, the Bucs have got to win this game. They just have to.
I'll take Tampa. I mean, I agree. This is where Tampa steps up, takes a hold of the division, starts to get ready and starts to look like a playoff team. If Tom Brady doesn't get his shit together, I'm going to lose my mind. Go Bucks.
All right. And then the last game is the Monday night game, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Indianapolis Colts. It opened at -3 in favor of the Chargers. It's up to -4.5. This is also a dome game. And your boy, Nick Foles, is getting the start for the Indianapolis Colts.
EDN.
Another decision on the part of the Colts that really makes little sense, but that's what they're doing. I don't know what to expect of Nick Foles at this point. He obviously won a Super Bowl for the Eagles a few years ago, but he has bounced around. He hasn't saw much action in the NFL. So
if we could go back to the podcast, right, where the week after Frank Reich got fired, and I believe I went on a diatribe about why would you not at least, if you have Nick Foles on the roster, try to recreate the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles magic with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback of that team? Why wouldn't you give Frank Reich an opportunity to coach the team with Nick Foles as the starting quarterback? When they get rid of Frank Reich, you have to believe that Nick Foles is not going to smell the field ever. And then Saturday comes in. I mean, who the hell knows what they're doing? They bench Ryan. They bring him back in. They bench him. They bench him when they fire Reich, right? And then they bring him back a week or two later. And then this embarrassing 33-0, up 33-0, and then losing the game. And that's enough to get Nick Foles on the field. It's just Ursay doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It's a debacle. There's no way they shouldn't have let Reich get an opportunity to go win in Indianapolis with Nick Foles calling the shots at quarterback. I like Indianapolis. I think that even though Jonathan Taylor is out, that the Chargers are just not it this year, right? They're a good team. I think everybody was looking for a lot from them. They cannot get it together. And I don't know if they're going to actually end up getting the last spot in the playoffs. They might have to sit out the postseason this year. So they lose to Indianapolis, they're definitely going to be out. And that's what I think is going to happen this season is the Colts are going to beat the Chargers, which is inevitably going to lead to them missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely can't take the Chargers as a 4.5-point favorite, especially in a primetime game. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I'm going to take the Colts and Nick Foles, man.
I'm not going against Nick Foles. Never go against Nick Foles.
All right, so that'll do it for us for week 16.
Nick Foles is Super Bowl 52 MVP, period. Take the Colts.
That'll do it for us for week 16. Merry Christmas to you and yours. If you're Merry watching, Christmas. Like, subscribe, and we'll be back next week for week 17. Peace out. Wildcats football. Wildcats football.